Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Food, my stomach's growling now. Thank you very much.
Hey, I've got food in a crock pot. I'm going to be doing some meatballs and Alfredo sauce. Not healthy, but it's going to taste absolutely delicious.
Well, of course. Crock pots are amazing.
I know, aren't they? I wanted to mention one thing that's totally not paranormal, and this I just saw a documentary a few hours ago that was so cringeworthy, I had to almost cover my face and look through my fingers. It blew my mind. Check this out. So it's a documentary on people that, you know, they don't have relationships with other people. They get fixated and have romantic relationships with objects. And they were exposing three different women, and one of them has a relationship with the Golden Gate Bridge. So she carries around a piece of the Golden Gate Bridge, and when she goes to the Golden Gate Bridge, she's like kissing it and has this romantic thing and believes the bridge loves her. The other one had the same sort of deal with the Eiffel Tower, and another one, like, it was a banister at a church that she was in love with, and she would go into the church and she would straddle the banister. Just mind-numbing. I mean, I feel bad for these people, but I just didn't realize that was a thing. Apparently it's super rare.
That is weird. That's almost like you and pizza.
Almost, but I don't get aroused by pizza. It just makes my stomach happy. So that's what I've been up to. Not a whole lot going on. I filed my taxes, getting my tax returns. My federal was approved. I should be getting a deposit shortly, so I'm pretty excited about that. Just been generally uneventful. And the flu update, at least up here in Oregon, here's my official flu update. Several weeks ago, influenza B was really popular and coming up positive enough a lot, which was interesting because influenza A is usually the one that's dominant. But this year it's influenza B where I'm at, and I have seen a decline the last week or two in regards to the flu. Not seeing a whole lot of positives, so I don't know if this is false hope or anything else because I don't have a flu shot, but influenza B, at least where I'm at, has seemed to be on the decline for the last week or two, which is good.
That's wonderful. That's good news for you since you're around it all the time.
Yeah, how do I not catch it if I'm around the flu all the time? I don't get it, but, you know.
Because you're alien.
I could be. Well, I know I'm not alien because I did my blood type, and it's like, it was like O pos or something really common. It wasn't one of these AB negs or all this other stuff. So I don't think I'm an alien. But anything else going on your end the last week?
No, not really. A lot of things are changing at work, and, you know, nothing is uncertain as change, and so it's going to be pretty interesting. It's all good.
Very good. Well, without further ado, let's get Walter on. Oh, go ahead.
Sounds good. No, sounds good.
All right, well, let's get him on. We got our author, Walter Brooks, and he's on hold. Let's get him right now. Walter,
well, good evening.
How's it going? Good evening.
I broke up with the banister. I had never slept with a bridge. That's just a rumor. And I could be persuaded sometimes by a triple cheeseburger, I admit it.
You know, I said something about the triple baconator from Wendy's. Oh, my gosh,
mm-hmm.
That is so good.
Yeah, they are. They are. And since you're already hungry, let's talk about food. You know, those all-you-can-eat dinners everywhere?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I love the salads myself.
Oh, well, you just start out with a salad, and then you go back for
I graze. If a place has a salad bar, I'm a terrorist. I really am. I go for the olives, deviled eggs. I mean.
Oh, yeah. All that good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, when I go get a salad, I think I'm being healthy, but of course I'm smothering it with cheese, bacon, eggs, and all that. And honestly,
yeah.
It's probably worse than getting a cheeseburger or something like that.
Yeah, don't forget the salted garlic breadcrumbs.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, as long as you want to be unhealthy. I mean, you can try to say it's healthy because garlic cures cancer and prevents strokes, and you live forever if you eat, like, 8 cloves a day.
They say that about onions, too, don't they?
I think they say it about onions as well, and maybe even celery. You know, it depends what they're promoting. Who are they, anyway?
Let me ask. Yeah, who are they? Let me ask
who
you this.
Who are they?
So you have to eat 8 cloves of garlic, whatever, approximately. You know, I tried to eat a clove of garlic once raw. That is an unpleasant experience.
I actually got a blue cloud of smoke that I exhaled after biting a garlic clove.
Oh, I'd like to see video
weird.
Of that.
Yeah. That can't be good.
Really? You'd think it'd be worthwhile? I mean, maybe I should try it.
Yeah,
it's been
that.
A while, and I don't have any teeth anymore, so it might be a problem for me.
Oh, well, yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, it's a thing of youth. Now, how old, never mind about how old are you. You have teeth, right?
Yes.
I just...
And I can run a camera, and I would be willing to supply you with the garlic. Now, the first bite might not do it. I don't know how many bites it would take, but I'd be willing to film you until it occurred.
Yeah.
We could have bets on the side. You know?
I could probably get through a couple of clothes, but let me tell you. So I get these tortilla chips from Packy, and they're ghost pepper. They have the ghost pepper, which is really, really hot pepper. And I eat those, and
mm-hmm.
I can't get through a whole bag. But so there is a code on the inside of these bags, and if you have
do not eat.
Well, they're hard to get through, but there's a code on the bag. So I put it in, and I won a free world's hottest chip, and it actually arrived a couple days ago. It's in its own coffin container. It's one chip.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the guts to try and eat that. I'm just going to put me in. That would put me in the hospital.
Oh, my God.
Well, you work at a hospital. That'd be okay.
Mm.
Just do it there.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that would go over well.
Got any paranormal tales from the hospital?
I do. I work in the laboratory, and things tend to move on their own. One time I saw a shadow on the floor walk into this small office area, and it caught my attention because I knew all the people were at lunch and no one was in there. So I walked around the corner, nothing was there. There have been a couple instances of things like flying around randomly, like the covers on the one of the microscopes shot off across the room. And one time when I was in our biological cabinet, the thing you put your hands under and it's like negative air pressure, I had a flu swab, and I watched the flu swab just slide all the way across the cabinet. Now, mind you, I've done hundreds of flu swabs, and that thing and the specimens never moved. And I just sat there for 2 minutes, watched it just walk across the inside of the cabinet. And maybe it was some weird vibration or airflow, but it had never happened before.
Even so, you think something else would have been affected at the same time. I've seen objects move. And with me, it was like a half-full little salt shaker on a restaurant table. And I was with a friend, and this salt shaker, for no reason at all, just moved halfway across the table.
That's more impressive because it was probably a lot heavier. So you guys are just watching
it. It had weight. It was glass, you know, with the silver top, see-through, about half full. And neither my friend and I was, you know, one of those booths. We were sitting on opposite sides of the table. And this salt shaker just moved across the table between us. And neither of us touched it. And he looked at me and he said, "Did you see that?" And I said, "Yeah." You know, he said, "Did you do that?" I said, "No."
Did he believe you?
No. Well, just examining all options, but yeah. The thing that happens to me, I think, more often as far as that sort of stuff goes is what I call interdimensional shift. And that's things vanishing and reappearing.
Oh, that's interesting.
I used to joke that if you're a centered person, that it is more likely that you might have a match with another parallel universe and could actually move between them. And just, you know, if you want left field for you, but if you have an aquarium with a lot of fish and a lot of things, you will notice fish vanish, fish reappear. I have rocks that move. I have big branches and maybe like stuck behind something the next day. There's no way the fish could have done it, and I didn't do it. I just think it's because there's so many variables in an aquarium that if something shifts, there's going to be changes. At any rate, that's me just speculating because I do lack certainty. The only certainty I have is that sometimes things change by vanishing and reappearing. I had a 8 or 9 inch rope fish, which is a kind of a black eel. And, you know, they're fairly large. And it vanished. It was gone. And I had to move to a different place, so I totally drained the aquarium. And I set up the aquarium in the new place and put everything back in it. And lo and behold, that rope fish appeared in that aquarium. But I had not moved it. I had not moved that eel. It was very weird.
That reminds me of a story I've never mentioned on this show before. Many, many years ago, I was probably 20 years old. I was into birds, and I had a parakeet in a cage. And I don't remember why. I think I put the cage with the parakeet in the bathroom, I guess so I wouldn't have to hear it when I was sleeping, because I think I was working graveyard at the time. So I go to sleep. I wake up. I go back to the bathroom. The parakeet's not in the cage. It's drowned in the toilet. And everything is sealed in the cage. Like, the door's not open. It's like the parakeet decided, "I hate my life. I'm going to commit suicide," and materialized outside the cage. I couldn't figure it out. I was like looking at the cage. There's no way this bird could have got out of here.
Yeah. So all you know is that something happened, but you don't know what. But definitely something happened. I look at a lot of the paranormal investigations where they're using devices or even people with sensitive abilities. And they say, you know, there's no actual proof of this and that, or you don't know what's going on. And I think the bottom line, I'm older, and so all these devices and everything are new, or at least say within the past 10, 20 years or so, right? And I think that there's enough that has been recorded that shows that something's happening, even if you don't necessarily know what or why.
Well, there's a lot that goes off
true.
in the invisible world. I mean, you can see the effects of the wind, but you can't really see the wind. And I have a Geiger counter that goes off if you're around stuff that's radioactive. But you can't, you know, see it, feel it, or touch it. So I wouldn't surprise me if stuff's going on in this invisible realm that we can't detect.
Yeah, I'd put an S on realm.
Yeah.
Like just say that there's. Yeah, one of my sayings is that one reason people see many different things out there is because there are many different things out there. You know? And too often people try to take a narrow view and say it's always this or always that, it's always a ghost or it's always a demon or it's always an alien or this and that, or, you know. And I think that there are many different things and also perhaps combinations of them.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I can believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Totally
everything
agree.
Seems to be related.
Mm-hmm. Or not, you know. It's not, we're investigating them, but it's quite possible that some of them are investigating us. For I know some of the orbs, other than being dust or insects or whatever, might be devices from some parallel realm that are exploring us. Or maybe they're a life form. And I have come to speculate about the universe. Well, when I was a kid, it was a big empty vacuum in space. All right? And I have come to understand that there are gas nebulas that are made of helium and hydrogen and nitrogen. And I was thinking, well, you know, if you get some hydrogen and you get some oxygen together, then you get water. And if you get water, you can get life. So there could actually be life forms that exist in space. I mean, I know that science fiction's touched on that possibility, but I can see where it could actually be.
It wouldn't surprise me. Something so
yeah, and they look for planets. They look for planets that are in what they call comfort zones, right? And I'm thinking, well, there could be comfort zones in space, and there could be comfort zones inside of planets. And I was thinking that the only natural environment for any life form is whatever it evolved in on its own planet. So if it were to go anywhere else, it would have to have an artificial environment. And the easiest place to build an artificial environment is underground, because you've already got walls. You just have to hollow it out. So in a lot of, we're looking at life like it's going to be on the surface of a planet. And I'm thinking, heck, most people would probably just build in the interiors. You know, and we're probably naive and secure and feel solitary enough that we think life on the surface is natural and secure. And it probably could be the most vulnerable place to try to build. But that's all left field, but that's why we're here. You know, so.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe there is, people have speculated that there's different races, you know, under the crust of our planet, you know, a different world.
And even, possibly older. In, there are oceans under our surface world that are bigger than our surface oceans. All right? And if there are oceans, there could also be caverns. And while you are accustomed to thinking of light as a source of heat from the sun, there is the interior source of heat. And it is heat rather than light which produces life forms. So, you know, when they look for sea monsters or Loch Ness, you know, and I think that some of that could be due to connections between an underground ocean and a surface body of water or ocean. So it falls into back to, it's worth exploring if you have the time or interest, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of recent things that I've seen about USOs, you know, UFOs underwater, weird sonar pickups of things traveling really fast, or people seeing crafts coming out of the ocean. And we've only explored
2-3%.
Columbus
saw a UFO on his way to America and mobbed it. But his came out of the water and then went into the sky.
So it kind of makes you wonder why these other, I don't know what you want to call them, entities or beings or whatever.
I go with life forms. It's
okay,
generic.
Yeah, that sounds, yeah, there you go. Why they've allowed us, as advanced as they are, why they've allowed us to continue, unless it's like you say, that they're studying us when we think we're studying them.
Well, maybe there's something of value to us for them, either our, you know, from our genetics to maybe, I don't know.
I have met an ET,
so I'm one of the far left field people in that, and it doesn't help my credibility at all. I've had UFO experiences. I've met an ET. I have met other life forms. And, you know, there goes my sanity out the window. But I've held some very demanding real-world jobs and have tried to keep my feet in the concrete. But I have had questionable experiences. Apparently, from descriptions, when I have spoken with other people in the UFO or ET realms, I met with what they call a Zeta, Z-E-T-A. And it came into my home, and there was a door to the outside, and it came in through that into my bedroom. And it was maybe 4.5-5 feet tall at the most, maybe 4 feet tall. And I just felt tremendous fear. And I was amazed at myself for feeling fear at this tiny childlike thing. You know what I mean? And it was explained to me that that is a protective thing that they can cast sometimes. to protect themselves. Is
sure.
They cast they're highly telepathic, and one of the things is the ability to cast emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So, at any rate, I questioned whether or not this was real.
Literally,
how do I know you're real? And it touched my arm. All right. And I felt the touch, and I developed a skin irritation where I had been touched. And I was at my parents' house, and I was in my early 20s. And my sister was there with her husband. And I guess it was, we came together for a holiday to visit the parents. And the next morning, her husband also had developed a skin irritation. When I mentioned, I told them what had happened to me. I mean, I spared them nothing. But you see, the day before, or a few days before, he and I had been walking. It was on an island, and there was like a walking bicycle trail near the water on one side of the island. We were walking, and he said, look, what are those things? And there were two UFOs in the sky above the water sort of following us. And I just joked and said, oh, they're just friends. I said, they tend to they tend to appear around me. And there's more background, but this is actually related to your saying, what is their interest? And
right.
They told me they would help me with things that I was doing. I mean, I've had several. He saw them then, and then it was like the next day or so that this thing came into the house, and I knew I was awake when I interacted with it, but maybe he wasn't, because he didn't remember any interaction. But we both had a...
What did the face look like? Did this look like a typical alien gray with the big dark eyes kind of thing?
I couldn't really... No, I didn't get that kind of a impression. I didn't get an impression of a face. I got more of an impression of a blur with the face.
Hmm.
Was it,
you know,
what was
maybe
it wearing?
It's just me. Remember, it was dark. It was dark. It was dark in my room, and I never turned a light on. So,
I don't think I would either.
Yeah, it wasn't what I'd call pitch black, because there was lights from either elsewhere in the house or from outside, you know? And you know how you can sort of see in the dark? And
mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that was just one of the experiences I've had with them. There was another one where I kind of woke up, and I was on a spaceship. Okay. And there was like a view window, and we were passing Saturn because there were rings around it. Okay.
Wow.
And then we came to another, we came to another planet, and it had rings around it. We came to another planet, and it had rings around it. And then we came to one that didn't. And then we were approaching something that was big, was my only impression. And then I didn't see any more. And when I opened my eyes again, I was sitting in a chair in my living room at home with a strange box. I was holding a strange box in my hand. I had no idea where the box came from. Never had seen it before. You know.
That's awesome.
But So I knew that I had never seen this box, and I now had this box, okay? That was one fact, right, as far as this weird experience. As far as the validity of what I saw when I was on that spaceship, these were tall, slender ETs, right? It was 10 to 15 years later that I guess maybe it was Voyager or Voyager 2 going out of our solar system, photographed Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. And all three of those planets had rings. So when I said I saw rings around the other two planets, when I said it, people thought I was crazy because they knew only Saturn had rings. But yeah. 15 years later, they got physical photographic evidence that substantiated what I had seen.
That's amazing.
Are they
so,
like,
what about the
then?
So at any rate, we all have had some different experiences.
What about the box? What was the box? What was in the box?
I didn't want to open the box. I thought it was very special, and that if I opened the box, whatever was in the box would vanish. And I thought the box was like a machine, and, you know, that it was proof to me that something special had happened, right? Because I didn't know where it came from or anything. So a friend of mine convinced me to open the box. Ta-da! Right? And I opened the box, and the only thing in it was this, like a Norse shield, is the only way to describe it. It was an eighth of an inch thick, okay? So very, very thin, okay? Solid metal, and it was like a shield with wings, all right, with a hollow center.
Wow.
In other words,
you still have it?
Just an open center. I don't think so. I don't think I still have it. Or if I do, it is, you know, buried in tons of, oh, I don't ever want to lose this, so I'm going to put it away in here. And one day when I go through everything I own, I'll find it again, which I never do, right? That happens a lot. Yeah, it's in the can't throw it away and don't need it, and it's there somewhere. For many years, it roosted in a mirror where I just stuck it. You know how they have those wood frames around them?
Mm-hmm.
So I could just stick there so I could see it now and then, that kind of thing. But I've moved several times in life, and so it's not there, I don't think, unless it fell into the glass. But it's like the eel. You know, it's gone there, and it's back again.
Yeah, that's when you'll find it.
Were you able to recognize any of the symbology of this object? You said Norse. Were you able to tie it to anything?
I thought Norse. I thought Norse because it reminded me of a Norse helmet if you just flattened it. You know? Some of the Norse had, like, wing things on them.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, if you were to take one of those and squish it flat, that's what it reminded me of. But no, I'm doing a terrible. I could draw it better than I could describe it. And I've never seen its exact match in any other image.
And was the box wooden? Was it nondescript? Was there anything unusual about the box?
The box was wooden. The box was wooden. And had metal hinges.
That's odd.
That's just an awesome story. That's fascinating. It'd be really interesting to take that to a lab and see what it's made of, and that sort of thing.
Well, I just thought it was wood. But, you know, that doesn't mean that it wasn't an odd wood or anything of that nature. And after my friend opened it and there was nothing in it, which, you know, got me more ridicule. You know, all I knew is that this thing was in my lap, and I woke up in a chair in my living room. And at the time, I had a bedroom and a bed. And I normally use the bedroom and the bed to go to sleep. It was not my norm to sleep in the living room then, not in a chair.
Wow.
So even that was odd for me. And I was fully dressed. No. And normally when I go to sleep, normally when at that time in the tropics, I would not have been fully dressed when I was going to sleep. And I didn't remember trying to go to bed. It was like a blank. I didn't know exactly when my day had ended, but I was waking up and I was on this spaceship. Now, there was another time when I was going to go to work, okay? And I went out to my car, and realized that I had forgotten something, so I went back inside, and I thought 2 or 3 minutes, right? And there were people inside, and I had actually been gone 15 to 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's a very little thing, but to me, it was still an odd thing.
That is odd.
I mean, I went out to my car, I got in, I sat down, I was going to drive to work, and I realized that there was I forget now what it was, but I realized I'd left something inside, so I went back in to get it, and it was that quick for me. And there's no way that I would have been sitting doing nothing in my car for 15 to 20 minutes.
Right. That's a long time.
It is. I mean, it is and it isn't, but it's, you know, it still was a good chunk of time that I could not explain.
Have you ever considered getting hypnotherapy to explore these experiences a little deeper? Or have you done that?
Yes and no. I'm just scared of it because I don't know what would come up. And I am scared of the hypnotherapist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them planting things in my mind, and I don't want them erasing things from my mind. And I definitely am not a trusting person.
Yeah.
So it would have to be totally recorded, you know, so I could review it afterwards. And I would have to have a friendly witness, you know, someone who I know would be protective of me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's not something you would ever want to be with strangers.
Yeah, no, I've seen them doing clucking like a chicken on stage and that kind of stuff, and I just don't want that to happen to me.
Stage hypnotism. Yeah, I could totally appreciate that. People are shady, unfortunately, so you never know.
You never know. and especially with psychic things. I don't want to be abused.
No, definitely not.
I've had enough problems from, I don't want to say government, but I have to. No. But it isn't government per se. It's, our government is a big machine, and there are a lot of different groups that push its buttons. So rather than saying, oh, the government did this, people are too quick when they talk about banks and corporations and governments and religions and this and that. They forget they're people. All right? Those are human beings in that thing doing these things. At least some of them are. At least we think they all are. Right? You know? But so rather than blaming government, I would say that there are groups within the government that have used it as a machine, and that I have had my share of challenges because of what I do and who I have named myself as. Both aspects have caused some government concern at times, which goes into my books, The Life of Christo series, which is my journal. And I think there are a lot of issues in there. I've called it a spiritual journey through nitty-gritty reality. And I think it is relevant to all people that you can be entertained, amused, and the issues contained within it are relevant to everyone, you know, in a timeless way. Da-da-da-da, buy my books. Have a good day. Thank you. Right? But... well, this is not an age of reading anymore. It's an age of videos, and I'm a writer, so I'm aware of the problems. I think that my books are good and will be timeless and will become more and more valued and popular. And it's going to be beyond my time. I'm not going to make money from it, but they're going to remain available on Amazon forever and ever. Amen, right?
That's the theory.
Yeah. The latest one I just finished yesterday, a 788-page book. That I was praying that I would live long enough to finish, right? And I am so glad I am done with it. When I say I did a book, I not only mean I wrote it, I put it together, I typeset it, I made it camera ready, I made the art, I did the covers, I made the specifications for it. I set it up and formatted it so that it can be done with an automatic audio translation. And I made it for the e-books. And I went through it with the first time through just to assemble all the raw material, and then the first next time through just to do the basic edit for grammar and spelling and this and that and some content. And then the second time through for the final edit and all those little minor polishing touches that really make something great, you know. But it's a lot of work.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. Yeah, that is a lot of work. People don't appreciate.
Yeah.
People just don't appreciate what it takes to do that.
They just see the final result. And we're all guilty of that. If someone else did it, it was easy. If I did it, it was a lot of work. Yeah. No, it's true. Even with you guys doing these radio shows, I mean, it's your life, and you're putting your time into it. And you probably, like everybody else, have got a small live audience. If that, But with the archives, people will visit them through time. You know?
That's true.
So
yeah.
You, and that's the way I look at my books. It's an archive. The last one that I just worked on is a book two of A Forum with No Name, which was an online metaphysics forum that I conducted from 1997 to 2010. And at one point it had like 6,000 members and was getting forwarded all around. And it had people from every religious group, every spiritual group from all over the world. It had atheists and psychics and physicists. And it was just wild and wonderful. And the first-hand thoughts and people, it's a forum, meaning its members made its content. So I said it's a time capsule of metaphysics by those of metaphysics for those of metaphysics. And at that time, metaphysics was paranormal, you know.
Right.
And theoretical physics and just
right.
A little bit of everything. And it was a joy for me to go through it again. It was. And I might do a book three if I live that long. I have a health. Well, I'm 2 years beyond my end of time. I have the COPD. And I was given 3 years with quality of life. And that ended just over 2 years ago. So I'm 5 years now. And very, very sadly, I have known three people with full medical treatment who have died from this. And I'm still going on with zero medical treatment. So I think
really?
There's something questionably wrong when I can do better without any medical treatment than the people that are getting medical treatment.
Yes.
And that's why I've distrusted hypnotherapists, right? Because I don't trust the doctors. If you go in poor, you can be an experiment. If you go in rich,
right.
You just get bled to death. You know, as long as they just look for billable events. Okay, there are good ones out there. And anyone who works in a hospital is a wonderful person. And I personally thank the hospital here that dealt with me when I went in and was diagnosed. Because I believe that at that point they did save my life. I had a pneumonia, and it was terrible. I had green and black phlegm. And I had to carry a cup or a bottle with me just to cough it up all the time. And I'd just gotten hired at a job, and they treated me like a plague victim. Told me to go to a hospital and get an explanation of it. And so I went to the hospital, and they said that there was a pneumonia compounded by COPD, so I couldn't expel the fluids, and that the solid chunks that were green and black were just like weak old phlegm, and they spent 8 hours pumping my lungs.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I think they really did save me that time. But other than that, I've been on my own. They kept me for the 5 days, and I in theory had some insurance from work, but they never paid a dime, which has been the story of me with insurance my entire life, which is an issue that many people face, is that they do pick and choose. There are people who have insurance and they can break a fingernail and get their whole body replaced, and then there are people with insurance that can break their body and they can't even get a fingernail replaced, right? You know? So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
insurance is a big scam, as far as I'm concerned. It pisses me off. Auto insurance, it's just like they're so easy to take your money, but when something happens, it's a big ordeal and all that. I just hate it. Yeah. And in terms of healthcare being ridiculously expensive, it's just absolutely absurd. Absolutely.
Oh, my surprise was when I finally reached Medicare age, right, after paying into it for 41, 42 years, right,
mm-hmm.
that all of a sudden it was going to cost me $135 a month, which
mm-hmm.
to me was more, it was, seemed like higher than anything I had been paying previously into it for all those years, right, when I couldn't
right.
use it. And I really couldn't afford the 135, but fortunately I'm low enough on the food chain that I've got Medicaid help covering to pay my Medicare. Right? And of course, I haven't used it at all. But
right.
Still, I
had
been paying in all those years with an expectation that when I retired, that then it would be free, which was why I was willing to pay into it without being able to use it for 40 years. Right? So after paying into it for 40 years, I thought that when I retired, I would be done paying. Right?
Now I got to hit you again for it.
Yeah, and harder.
Yes.
You know, with car insurance, when I was a kid, they told me, well, your rates are high because you're young, but if you don't get tickets or have accidents, your rates will come down. Well, in 40 years without tickets or accidents, I want you to know my rates never, ever came down. You know, and I can tell you this 40 years later. I couldn't dispute it when I was 20. Excuse me. But again,
I know what you're saying. I'm in the same boat. My rates haven't gone down. I've been insured with the Farmers for 25 years, no accidents, and you would think it would go down, but nope. I'm paying just as much now as I did when I was 20.
One thing, though, the young people today are paying very, very high rates. When I mentioned to my coworkers who were young that same story, they told me their current rates, and they were like double mine.
Yes. And it almost makes you wonder if they do that just because that they've been charging for so much for so many years, and now they're like they can't bring the rates down. That would give up their scam.
Well, some of it's currency devaluation or inflation, and some of that is government deficit spending, which reduces the value of money. And going through the Life of Christos series, I had the forethought to describe costs of things as I was getting them back then. And it doesn't seem to me to be that long ago when you go to the 1990s. And for $10, I got movie tickets, cigarettes, beer, and popcorn. All right.
That's expensive nowadays.
Today, the two movie tickets would be $20. The cigarettes would be $5 to $10. A six-pack of beer would be another $4 or $5, right? So what I bought for $10 in 1990 would be $25 or $30 today.
Yeah,
Another thing is that in with the Social Security, you are paying in, you're going to receive, 25% or something of what you earned. So when I was working for $2.50 an hour in the 1960s, okay, that was towards minimum wage and was okay money. But now, 50 years later, I have to live on an income that is based on what I earned in the 1960s and 70s and 80s, right? So the same thing will happen to the young today. You don't think ahead that way. It's like, okay, well, if I'm getting 25% of what I'm earning, I think I could live on that if I've saved a little bit of money, you know, and this and that. But what you don't anticipate is that the costs have tripled, you know, or that your money is worth that much less today than it was then.
Yeah, there was no adjustment to that throughout the years because they're too busy spending it.
Yeah, to some degree. Well, there are a lot of factors. And that's not actually all that paranormal. That is normal. But
yeah,
that's part of the nitty-gritty reality. And I've tried to teach people to seek to be comfortable and content in the real world while maintaining your spiritual health. And to me, spirit is part of the paranormal and is part of being human. And that is an aspect that might be of some interest, perhaps, to some ETs.
Well, Walter, we am looking at the clock here. We're out of time. I want to ask our listeners to check out Life of Christos on Amazon. And, hey, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. Really interesting. Love to hear your experiences. That box one was amazing.
Yeah, well, thank you. And people can find me just by searching for Walt, which is J-U-A-L-T. It's like Juan, but Walt. And that is a unique word that if you search for that, you'll find my stuff.
Oh, that's a great.
Very.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming
on.
Good
word
to
show with that.
we're gonna have to get you back on in the future because I can tell that there's so much more we could be talking about. It's been too long since the last time we had you on, so we'll have to get you back on.
All right, well, thank you very much for having me. I always appreciate the opportunity.
All righty. Thank you. Thanks, Walter. All
wow.
Right. I kind of want to go on a spaceship and, like, explore the solar system, although that kind of scares me. You know, when we talk about these ETs, it kind of freaks me out, actually. You know, I've had my own experiences, so it just kind of floods. Some memories from back in the day kind of flood back, and I start getting paranoid. I'm going to get ETs again. But
I was going to say, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, no kidding. Nothing has happened in like 20 years. Let's keep it that way. But, yeah, I guess we'll wrap it up. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight and check us out, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. The Facebook page at one point was reaching 6 million people a week. So it usually averages between something 1 and 6 million. Now, granted, we post a lot of nonsense, funny memes, But apparently that's what people like, and that's what's causing the Facebook page to grow. So we hope everybody keeps paying attention to that. We're at 47,000 likes, which is really strange to me because 47,000 isn't that many when I think about how we reach millions of people a week. Does that seem a little off to you?
It does, and I don't understand how that works, but because that makes no sense. But I guess they're counting where people are sharing those memes, and maybe that goes in with the views, but I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
And I mentioned a few weeks ago, somebody said, hey, we'll pay you $2,000 a month or a week or something to post ads. And I just kind of blew it off as a scam. And then I got contacted again. I don't know if you saw that. We got another message. Hey, this is so-and-so. You know, they want to make money off our Facebook page. I don't know if that's real or not. I guess I need to – I'll look into it. I know things like that happen out there. I know people do that. I just didn't think that the page was large enough to actually generate any revenue. I can see it if we had millions of followers, but maybe it's a real deal. Maybe we can make some money. Who knows?
Yeah, but then, you know, I don't like commercials, and I get pissed off when I see ads, and then I just get off of the page. So, I don't know.
I don't know. We'll just have to look into it. But I'm with you on that. I don't like ads at all either. But with that, we got to close her out. We're a minute over our time. I've got some food to eat, so I hope everybody has a safe and fantastic weekend. We'll be back next Sunday, 7 p.m. West Coast. I got meatballs waiting for me. I got to eat them. It smells so good. I'm dying here. I'm dying. I got to keep my... my 260-pound frame in well-fed.
Yeah, well, everybody be sure to check into our page and to see when our shows are scheduled and things like that. And I'm like you. I'm excited that we need to get Walter back again pretty soon to finish out some of those stories.
Absolutely. There's too much to talk about. And with that, we'll bid everybody adieu. We'll see you next Sunday. Good night, everyone.
Good night.